so good to be here once again. Maestro, thank you. Y'all back, man. Tell you, y'all back. But did Deacon Bell leave? Deacon Bell, okay, I see it. So good to see you, Deacon. Thank you for that sermonette earlier. He said it's his resurrection too. You can't relate to that. You don't know what he means. That wasn't for everybody. That's just for us who was lost, but now we're found. That's just for us who was blind, but now we see. The Sunday school lesson was great. It was about the little piece I caught. The resurrection. The 6 minute film clip that we all witnessed. It was great. It was about the resurrection. Maestro and the songs he put together. It was great. It was about the resurrection. And I had a message for you today that was about the resurrection. But then something happened. I was never happy with the message in the first place. One being that I found out that it was I was going to be preaching Resurrection Sunday super late. So I, what preachers like to call, I threw a message together. I just put a bunch of scriptures and a bunch of words together, and I called it a message. And you know a good message when you have it, because when you're going over it in the mirror, you get happy. It sets your soul on fire. And if it don't do nothing for you, then it ain't gonna do nothing for nobody else. So I was hesitant about the scripture. Then I seen a text from a cousin of mine. She's 18 years old, little cousin. Antronique is her name, and she said she wasn't feeling well one day, and they said, well, go take a nap. She went and took a nap. She woke up. She couldn't move any part of her body on her left side. That was 3 weeks ago. Today, this morning, she's still in the hospital, unable to move any part of her right side, and she says now she's losing feeling in her right side. So she called up her big cousin who takes care of her. Cynthia is her name. That's my big cousin. And Tanika is my little cousin. And she said, just come get me. She's like, everything they're doing, nothing is working. Just come get me. I'm tired. But don't judge her, because I don't want y'all to sit there and act like y'all ain't never been tired. Like you ain't never wanted to throw in the towel. You ain't never wanted to give up. She got to that point. She said, just come get me. I'm tired. So if you don't mind, and you would excuse me from preaching your resurrection message, I just want to preach what God gave me today. Is that all right? Is that all right? Because if you're truly born again, if he hung, bled, and died for you, then resurrection is every day. I mean, the resurrection is simply about just a couple of things. God keeping his word. God said he would have a son. And he did. He said he would live, and he did. He said he would die, and he did. He said he would raise him from the dead, and he did. And he said that he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish, and I believe that he will. So if he had a son, and he lived, and he died, and he raised them, then I just have a funny feeling and a sneaky suspicion that one day he's going to crack the sky and we're all going to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now that's the gospel. And that's all Resurrection Sunday is. It's about the gospel. Father, sanctify the word of God to our hearts. Let it penetrate down into the core of our being into a supernatural way that is altered and changed and strengthened and challenged and healed and fortified by every word that resides out of your mouth. Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're getting ready to do, Father. We ask that you have your way in this place on this Resurrection Sunday, Father. No one is here to hear my opinion or what I have to say, so I ask that you hide me behind the cross and speak truth unto your word, until sin, until saints are satisfied, until you are satisfied, until saints are encouraged, and sinners come running asking, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you don't mind, would you stand on your feet all over the building for the reading of the word, which is coming out of the book of Mark. Mark 5. Mark 5, 25 through 34. I'm going to start reading at the 25th verse. That's Mark, Matthew, Mark 5, 25 through 34. We'll begin, and I hope y'all don't take for granted that y'all got some of the best dressed deacons I've ever seen. Mark 5, 25, 34, and it reads as thus. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the report about Jesus and came up behind him in a crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made whole. Here it is. And immediately. Okay, the beginning. Y'all don't know when to shop. Try to get it. And immediately, the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, y'all missed it again. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Oh, we can open up the doors of the church just on that right there. New beginning today for a moment, and I do mean a moment, I'm going to talk to you for a subject entitled, oh, Jesus, give me the strength to keep fighting. That's for my little cousin, new beginning. Oh, Jesus, give me the strength to keep fighting. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All over the world, we got trials and tribulations. Not just at the hospital in LA where my cousin is, but also in Ukraine. The Kremlin done lost his mind. He's bombing hospitals, train stations, residential areas. And I had to ask, God, what is wrong with this man? How could he be so evil? What would make a person do this? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he's bleeding. And at the end of the day, all of us in here have to admit that there is some bleeding going on the inside of us that has wiped out more of us due to war, suicide, homicide, worry and stress, disgust, dismay, anxiety, hurt, jealousy, loneliness, abandonment, and abuse. And we walked in here today, this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, looking good, smelling good. We have our spiritual mask on. We're all dressed up on the outside, but on the inside, we're bleeding. And I can appreciate a Christian who is bleeding so much on the inside They have to go to the Lord and say, I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me fight this battle. Because if you're a Christian and you have no struggle, no strain, you have no hidden sin, no problem, no bad habits, you have no issues confronting you in your life right now, everything is okay in your spiritual walk, then you can just sit there and check your Instagram because I'm not talking to you. But if you can say, not everything in my life that happens to me is the devil, sometimes it's me. Every now and then, I'm my own worst enemy. Every once in a while, my bleeding shows up on my face. Every now and again, when I'm trying to stand, I fall flat on my back. Every once in a while, I worry too much and worship too little. I panic too much and pray too little. Every now and again, my bleeding gets the best of me. And yet I'm still trying to press my way, pray my way, do the right thing. But just like the woman in our text, every time I try to get help for my bleeding, it just gets worse. And I get tired sometimes, just like my little cousin. I get tired sometimes. Is there anyone here at New Beginning who get tired sometimes? I get tired of the bleeding. I get tired of the struggle. I get tired of the strain. I get tired of being talked about. I get tired of being lied on. I get tired of my children. And sometimes I lay in the bed all night long looking up at the ceiling because I'm tired of myself. Is there anybody in here who can concur with this woman and say, I'm tired of the bleeding? Oh, Jesus. I need you to give me strength to keep on fighting. Now there's some men in here who can admit that women aren't the only ones who bleed. There's some men in here who knows what it's like to not want to get out of bed in the morning, to not want to open the curtains and deal with the realities of what you have to deal with. There are some people in here who knows what it means to have life try and knock the life right out of you. Somebody knows what it's like to have to deal with the same thing every day, all day. Somebody knows what it's like to want to throw in the towel, wave the right flag. There are some people who's wanted to say, stop this ride, I want to get off. But here you are today on this Resurrection Sunday. And the fact that you're in here means you didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel. You found within yourself some intestinal fortitude to keep on fighting. And just like those Ukrainians, this woman in our text had to keep on fighting despite the pressure, despite the weight, despite the bleeding from within. And I'm so glad y'all showed up to church today because I want to introduce y'all to a woman who knows what it means to have some pressure, some weight, some frustration, some aggravation from which she could get no relief. If you've been saved for at least 2 weeks, you know her well. You've heard her story because she is one of those sisters who helped us understand what it means to have some tenacity, some temerity, even the audacity to keep on pressing even when you're bleeding. She's unnamed, but not unnecessary. Now, in our text, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. And this unnamed woman just pops up out of nowhere. Now, hold on, church. You got to be careful when people don't know that you know your name. Because they'll start identifying you with what you're bleeding from. Now, I have a problem with that. Because all too often, we as church folks like to label people based on their deficiencies. This is why the church called her the woman with the issue of blood. Y'all know how they do. That's the deacon with the drinking problem. That's the usher that got pregnant before she got married. That's the preacher that got caught, dot, 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 dot. We have the tendency to label people with what's wrong with them. Do I have anybody here at New Beginning today who can testify? Don't label me by what's wrong with me, because there's a whole lot more to me than what meets the eye. Don't fool yourself. I'm not just somebody who don't have the money I wish I had. I'm not just somebody who don't have a man. I don't have a man because I don't need a man. I got Jesus. I'm not just somebody who's old and don't seem to have a way to keep on pressing because I got something on the inside of me that makes me get up in the morning and say that this is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Do I have anybody in the house today who can testify that there's more to me than what meets the eye? So here we have this woman who's unnamed, but not unnecessary. Now I have no evidence of her being married. The Bible doesn't say. So there's no reason for me to assume that she's unnamed because she has some overprotective husband who demanded that the writer keep his wife's name out his cotton-picking mouth. Now, here she is, unnamed, but not unnecessary. Now, she ain't got no invitation. Didn't nobody invite her there? She ain't supposed to be there because according to Levitical law, anyone with this disease has to social distance herself. She has to wear a mask. She has to wear a face shield. She has to wear gloves. She can't come within 6 feet of anybody, but she shows up anyway. She said, I don't care what anybody say about me being here. I need something from this man named Jesus. And no matter what it takes, I'm going to press my way through the crowd and get from him what the doctors couldn't give me. And here's what I like about the text. Here's what I like about the text. It says she's been bleeding for 12 long years. And 12 long years is different from 12 years. You see, if you ask my daughter how old she is, she'll tell you 12, because it's been 12 years for her. But if you ask me, see, I'm gonna tell you it's been 12 long years, because it's been a lot of snotty noses, a lot of dirty diapers, a lot of PTA meetings, a lot of kissing boo-boos. It's been 12 long years for me. Now, the reason 12 years is mentioned is not to give you the length of her sickness, but it's to give you the scope of her limitations. Okay. You see, the longest you could live with a disease like this is 12 years, which means she was at the point where she had to do something or die. And y'all do know that the enemy wants you dead, because sometimes your internal issues causes you external problems. And I don't know about you, family, but I don't want to be around nothing dead too long. I don't want to be around dead saints. I don't want to go to a dead church. And I hope you didn't show up here today to worship a dead Jesus, but a resurrection Savior. So today, I thought I would bring this sister to the forefront, because she's a sister who knows what it means to have an issue and still keep pressing, keep persevering, keep pushing until she gets her issue resolved. She has faith to fight on. Here she is, family. This sister, unnamed, but not unnecessary, teaches us how to have faith to fight on. This woman is drained. She's depleted. She's detached by law from everything near and dear to her. Okay? Didn't get it. This woman, she's drained. She's depleted. She's detached by law from everything near and dear to her. But she heard about a man named Jesus who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And she said, if I could just get to him, then I know something in my life is going to change. You see, family, this woman had went to several doctors. The Bible said she spent all she had. She was broke. They took everything. She went to Kaiser. They didn't do nothing. She went to St. Francis. They didn't do nothing. She went to West Covina Memorial. They couldn't help her. All they did was take her money, and she got worse. She was broke. And I can tell by looking at the way some of y'all dress that being broke don't mean same to you as it does to me. See, because when you from the hood, you know what it means to be broke. See, when you from the hood, you know that being broke ain't no joke. See, anytime you have to stand at the gas pump and decide, am I going to fill up today or am I going to eat? Being broke ain't no joke. Mm-hmm. When you have to decide, am I going to pay my rent or am I going to buy my meds? Being broke ain't no joke. Anytime you have to choose between getting the gas cut off or getting electricity cut off, being joke ain't no joke. And I need somebody in here who can testify with me that sometimes the E on the gas tank stands for everlasting, because God will allow you to put $5 in your tank and drive on it all week long because he just keeps on keeping you. This unnamed woman, but not unnecessary, reminds me of Paul. You see, she knew how to abase and how to abound. Okay, she knew how to enjoy life when she was broke and when she had a lot. She could eat filet mignon or she could eat a syrup sandwich. It's all the same to her, because she came up on the rough side of the mountain. She had to cross rivers that didn't have bridges. She took the long way home. She's been lied on, talked about, mistreated, misunderstood, taken advantage of. She's had to struggle, strain, and go through some strife. She's seen trouble, trials, tragedy, trauma, and tribulations. She's been dropped by people that told her they loved her and didn't really mean it. She's been let down by people she thought she could trust. She's been stabbed in the back by folks she thought was her friends. You may not be able to see it by looking at her on the outside, but on the inside, she was bleeding. And she had so much faith that she believed that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But every now and then, even a strong woman has to say, oh, Jesus, give me strength to keep on fighting. Now, family, the Bible doesn't give us her name or her nationality. But in my sanctified imagination, I just know she had to be a Black woman, because her attitude was that of Rosa Parks. I ain't moving till I get what I came here for. Now, as our text unfolds, this woman is nameless. And that's important, and here's why. Because whenever there is anonymity in the text, there's inclusiveness by the writings, which will suggest that the reason why her name is not mentioned isn't because she's not important. It's just that you may have to put your name in there one day. So the text could actually read, Deacon Johnson got on his hands and knees, pressed his way through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garments. So this unnamed woman in the Bible was living with this persistent pain. Persistent pain. When she woke up in the morning, the pain was there. When she went to bed at night, the pain was there. When she walked in the marketplace, the pain was there. She couldn't take a pill to make this pain go away. She couldn't sleep this pain off. She's been bleeding and being drained from her body, and you don't have to know that there is power in the blood. She's bleeding, but there's power in the blood. Now, here's the miracle of the text for me. See, the miracle is not that she gets healed in the end. That's expected. Because when you're a child of God and you ask God for something, you expect God to answer your prayer. So that's not the miracle that God did what was expected of him. The miracle for me is that she's been suffering and dealing with this for 12 long years, and she still had enough gall to keep on pressing. Now, y'all looking like y'all ain't never wanted to give up. 12 years of dealing with the same thing day in and day out, and she didn't give up. She didn't throw in the towel. My cousin said in her message, come get me. nothing they doing is working. And if she was here today, I would tell her, just keep on pressing, cuz. Just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Just keep on pressing. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It ain't over until God says it's over. So she hears about a man named Jesus coming to town. And she still had enough fight in her to press her way through the crowd and say, oh, Jesus, give me strength to keep on fighting. Now, where are my sisters who can say, you don't know half the stuff I've been through? If you knew my whole story, you wouldn't believe I'm still in my right mind. If you knew my whole story, you wouldn't believe I'm locked up somewhere. But I'm still standing, I'm still pressing, I'm still alive, and that by itself is a miracle. If you knew my whole story, you would know that this woman ain't the only woman who's had to press her way through a crowd just to get next to Jesus. The family. It was in studying for this message that I finally realized how people you love can treat you so bad. Yeah. See, this text helped me to understand how you can say good morning to somebody and they ask what's so good about it. See, it was this text in Mark 25 that helps me understand how you can loan somebody money to help them out, and then they get mad at you when they can't pay you back. It's because they're bleeding. And they go to church bleeding, they go to work bleeding, they get married bleeding, they have children bleeding, and you don't know it because money can fix it up. Degrees can polish it up. Their social media makes it look good, but on the inside, they are bleeding. And here's the crazy part. God allows it. And no, God didn't fall asleep on the job. He didn't take a vacation. He didn't forsake you. But sometimes God will allow his people to go through stuff that will make you cry sometimes. Now, I don't believe in a theology of sunshine and rainbows. If you are a child of God, you're going to have to cry sometimes. You're going to have your share of hell and high water. You're going to go through some ups and downs, some changes and turnarounds. This woman in our text, she does three things that stood out to me. She talks. She touches, and she takes. My show. She talks, she touches, and she takes. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all tell this same story about this woman. Mark says she thought to herself. And I really appreciate Mark's version. I really do. That's why I came out of the book of Mark. But I like the way Matthew said it. Matthew put it this way. She said to herself. And there's a big difference between thinking something and saying something. See, most psychologists will tell you not to talk to yourself. Others will tell you it's okay to talk to yourself. Just don't answer yourself. See, but I disagree with both of them because every now and then you got to talk some sense into your own self because sometimes yourself is the only self that yourself will listen to. Sometimes you have to talk yourself off the ledge. Sometimes Oprah and Dr. Phil won't do it. You got to be your own life coach. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, get yourself together, girl. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, I will survive. I will prosper. I am an overcomer. Greater is he who's in me than he that's in the world. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, is there anybody in here who's ever had to talk to themselves? The Bible said David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And I don't know exactly what David said to himself, but I imagine it was something like this. Jesus, give me the strength to keep on fighting. Not only does this unnamed woman talk, but she touches. Mm-mm. She has to press her way through the crowd. And the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. Now hold up. Wait a minute, family. The Greek word for touch is hatoumahi. It means to contact or grab her hold of. And for years, I thought she just grabbed the hem of his garment. But that ain't what happened, y'all. That's not how the story goes. See, Jewish men wore a garment on the outer shoulder called the tallit. See, it's a prayer shawl that they wear. And the tallit has little tassels on the end of it called zigzag. And each zigzag represents the word of the living God. So when they're walking during the day, it's like they're walking in the will of God. And you see, it was a bunch of people around Jesus that day, but only one person had enough sense to grab hold of his word. Now, I don't know what word she grabbed hold of that day, but what I do know is whichever word she grabbed hold of healed her. So I came by with a few words of my own for y'all to grab before I get out of here on this Resurrection Sunday. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. If that ain't your tassel, I'm going to keep going. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. God is our refuge, a very present help in a time of trouble, that when you need him, he's always there. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. Oh, you ain't found your tassel yet? I'm gonna give you a couple of more. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. Be careful for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God shall keep your mind in Christ Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And we know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what zigzag this woman grabbed hold of, but I do know what word you need to grab hold of today. Jesus, give me strength to keep on fighting. So this unnamed woman grabs hold of Jesus's zigzag. And the Bible said immediately. See, that's what I like about my Lord. He don't need a 30-day trial period. He don't need a cooling off period. When you call him, he's there immediately. Back at St. Mark's Missionary Baptist Church in Canton, Mississippi, where my grandmother used to sit in the third row and give me the peppermint candy at the bottom of her purse to keep me quiet, they say it like this. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He's an on-time God. The Bible said immediately her fountain was dried up. It took 12 long years for her immediately to happen. But immediately, when she got in the presence of Jesus, she was made whole. And Jesus turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" And here come these know-it-all disciples. "Jesus, you see all these people bumping up against you and you asking us who touched you? Everybody touched you, Jesus." Jesus said, "No, that was no accident. Somebody touched me with intentionality. Somebody showed up here to touch me. Somebody touched me expecting something." Did anybody in here show up to church on this Resurrection Sunday expecting something from Jesus? This woman identifies herself and she says, it was me. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm gonna die anyway. So I just figured, what the heck? I might as well take my chance. It was me. I didn't mean no harm. It was me. And she tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And here's where it gets gooder. She knows she's not supposed to be there. She knows that her being there, she can get prosecuted. She can be stoned. But she also knows that her healing is there. She had to fight. She had the faith to fight on despite persistent pain. She had the faith to fight on despite what other people thought of her. And the whole thesis of this message is we need the faith to fight on until the divine praises our perseverance. She touches him. He says, "Who touched me?" She said, "I did." And in verse 34, he says, "Daughter." Come on, I already gave y'all a heads up. Come on. In verse 34, he said, "Daughter." Maybe you're not getting excited about that because you don't know the significance of that in the text. He said, "Daughter." See, this is the first time in reported history that Jesus had ever referred to anyone as daughter. Okay. He said, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. I told y'all that in the beginning. He's on his way to Jairus' house. Now, see, Jairus is a man of nobility and ability. Jairus is one of those entitled church folks. See, Jairus is a big baller shot caller. They're on their way to Jairus' house. And here's the crazy thing is Jairus is the man, but yet he had to go find Jesus himself. And he didn't just go say, "Yo, Jesus, it's me, Jay. Come to the crib." That ain't how it went. Jairus had to go humble and lay prostrate before Jesus and pretty much get on his hands and knees, not press his way through a crowd, but lay there on the ground and plead for Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter. So Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to go." Jesus goes. There's a procession with them. There's a crowd of people. The Bible says there's a multitude of people with them because they want to see Jesus do another one of those Jesus things. It's a bunch of them. Can you see them in the crowd now? "Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. Heal him, Jesus." Yeah, so they're on their way to Jairus' house to see this Jesus thing that Jesus is about to do, because most of them haven't seen it. They've only heard about it. And there's a difference between being a witness and being a historian. See, when you're a historian, you know some things, you remember some things, and you can regurgitate some things upon request. But when you're a witness, you've seen it for yourself and can't nobody tell you because you was there. So they want to be a witness to this thing that Jesus is about to do at Jairus' house. And then here comes this woman out of nowhere with no name and stops everything. She touches the hem of his garment and the Bible said, Jesus stopped. He stopped. It's a parade. She touches his garment. And Jesus stopped. And he turns around, he asks, "Who touched me?" And it's this no-name woman. And she says, it was me. And Jesus stops. And he allows her to be healed. And he says, "Daughter, go be free of your suffering." And why did Jesus stop on his way to this big baller shot caller's house? It's because Jesus wanted everybody to witness that there is no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of the Lord. So he stopped to address this no name, but not unnecessary woman while he was on his way to Jairus' house. And she wasn't in the club. She wasn't in the clique. She wasn't in the crew. She didn't run a Fortune 500 company. She didn't have a million followers on her Instagram. But Jesus said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And she went on about her business. Now she's in no more pain, no more heartache, no more suffering, no more crying. Is there anybody in here who can testify with me that God will heal you? God will deliver you. God will redeem you. God will provide for you. God will open doors for you. God will make a way for you. If you want to know why I love him so much, if you want to know why I praise him so much, if you want to know why I celebrate him so much, because every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Every time I turn around, he keeps on making a way for me. Is there anybody out there who can look back over your life and testify that I'm a walking, talking, living, breathing testimony that God will answer your prayers? But when I think about, oh, you got to excuse me, I'm getting excited. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries, thank you. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for comforting me. Thank you for rocking me in the cradle of your arms. I gotta go. But there's one more thing I gotta do before I go. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If he saved you, you ought to say so. If he's healed you, you ought to say so. If he's made a way for you, you ought to say so. If he's brought you out, you ought to say so. Is there anybody in here who can give God your best praise? I'm trying not to shout. I'm trying not to dance, but you don't know like I know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory when he died on the cross, hung, bled, and died, and was rose early Sunday morning. And that's why I love him. That's why I love him. That's why I love him. I really, really love him. There was days when I didn't think I would make it. I had to eat whatever I could find. I didn't know how I was going to explain it to my children. But through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I learned to trust in God. I came to tell the enemy, you done picked the wrong one to fight with today. You picked the wrong child of God, because if I'm broke, I ain't got nothing to lose. See, bougie people can't praise them like this. Bougie people got too much going on for themselves. They too educated. They got too many commas on their bank account. But when you ain't got nothing to lose, you can say, for the Lord I live and for the Lord I die. But somebody give God some praise up in here. Done, Sam. I came by on this Resurrection Sunday to try to encourage somebody. Just keep on fighting. Don't give up. This is your Friday, but Sunday morning is coming. Doors of the church is open.